38, if you'll turn there. It's really kind of an unusual story for where we are in the life of Joseph. We started a few weeks ago to, you know, really dive straight into the life of Joseph. In chapter 37, we learned about Joseph receiving the coat of many colors, and he was selected by his father to receive the, you know, really the inheritance, which was what it would have implied, which is why his brothers hated him, because he wasn't the oldest. The inheritance, which is a greater portion, it doesn't mean he receives everything, it just means he receives a double portion, was to be given to the oldest of the family, right? The firstborn son. But it wasn't given to the firstborn son. It was given to what we see in the scriptures, it seems to imply, as Jacob's favorite son, which was Joseph. Gave him the coat of many colors. They hated him for it, remember? And it led them to do some pretty terrible things to him. And they sold him ultimately to become, you know, a slave. They sold him into slavery. It's amazing whenever he is sold to Potiphar that he's not sold to into a place or without authority, being that he was sold to a man that had great authority himself, promoting, we'll see in time to come, to the head of all of Potiphar's house. It's interesting that we learn about Joseph being sold into slavery, and then chapter 38 comes, and it seems to derail us from the whole story of Joseph. We're going to come back to Judah here, and we're going to learn about the life and lineage of Judah, where he was whenever he found the spouse that he would be married to, the children that he had, how it took place that Judah would, you know, his seed would be preserved. You know, we see that Judah's seed would be preserved in this chapter. And it seems, you know, sort of out of place. But we know that God has a message for us. And we know that it also contributes to overall what God is saying in the life of Joseph. And I think that we'll see that tonight as we get into this message. We're going to identify in Judah his, watch this now, I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to identify in Joseph a lack of responsibility. He's irresponsible. And so tonight we need to learn to be responsible. Responsible for the authority that God has given to us. Responsible for what God not only has commanded us to do, but He expects us to do. Okay? So we need to learn to be responsible. Let's take a look at our text and let's see what verses we're going to read tonight. We're going to read the whole chapter. So let's get started in verse number 1. You don't need to stand, but just follow as we go through this. It came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of the certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in unto her. She conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Ur. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son and called his name Shelah. And he was at Kezib. I'll get it right eventually. When she bare him. And Judah took a wife for his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Judah's firstborn was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, and what we're going to see here in verses 8 and 9, let me just tell you what's going to happen. Pay attention now. Watch up here. Here's what's happening. You have God who has issued a law, and it's sort of a cultural thing. And we wouldn't connect with this law today, but in Bible times, particularly in the time of Judah, the law was that whenever there was life, the line and lineage was very, very important. And so to preserve seed unto the family, then if the wife was, her husband was, had died, then it was expected that the next son would go in unto his wife and preserve seed unto him. But the first son, which was her husband, Tamar's husband, he died because he was evil. It doesn't tell us why. It just simply says he was evil. Onan was supposed to go in, but chose. I'm telling you what happened here because I think it'd be better than reading the verses, and you can read them later. But instead of doing what he was supposed to do, the Bible says that he chose self-gratification anyway. Instead, rather. To pleasure himself, if you would. And didn't do what God wanted him to do. And you know what God did to him? God killed him. So Ur is now dead and Onan is dead also. And both because of their wickedness, right? Okay. Now let's go on. Let's see. Look at verse number 11. And Judah, and then said Judah to Tamar his daughter, daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house till Shelah thy son be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. Now verse number 12. And in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died, and Judah was comforted, and went up into the sheep shearers to Timnath, and he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put her widow's garment off from her, covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, sat at an open place, which is by the way of Timnath. And she saw that she... And why did she do that? Verse number 14. Look at this and we'll get into our message. For she saw that Shelah was grown and she was not given unto him to wife. Why did Tamar take this situation into her own hands and move forward to preserve seed? Why did she do that? Why did she do this? Because Judah didn't do what he was supposed to do. He was irresponsible. Yeah. Listen, whenever we are irresponsible to do the things that we're supposed to do, somebody else is going to step up and do it. And that's a sad day. Can I say this again and then we'll dive into this deep? It's a sad day when somebody else is doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's a sad day. And that's what's happened here. They are not taking responsibility. Judah did not take responsibility. Okay, so let's deal with the word responsible. What's it mean? Webster's 1828. It simply means this. Liability to account. Accountable. Answerable. As unto a debt. We are responsible for the talents entrusted to us by our Creator. So, we have bills, and so we're responsible, right, to pay our bills. If we're being responsible, then we will pay our bills. Responsible to serve God by certain means. We take responsibility, we serve Him. What does that mean? That means if we have ministry, then we serve in that ministry. That means if we are to give, then we give as we're supposed to give. We're taking responsibility. If we are to tell others about Jesus Christ, then we tell others about Jesus Christ. You see, we're simply taking responsibility that's giving to us. And not to take this responsibility is to be irresponsible. Where responsible means to take care of my family. It means to work and provide financially. It means to teach and lead my family spiritually. It means to teach and lead my family emotionally. That's what it means to be responsible. Not just to pay the bills. Not just to go to work and make sure that everybody has enough. That's a big part of it. And it's sad to say there's a lot of men in society who aren't doing that. But it's more than just that, isn't that right? It's to lead our family in the way we should go. It's to train up our children. It's to be the spiritual leader in the family. It's to be the emotional leader in the family. And we're irresponsible if we don't. It's to be responsible to fulfill my tasks, to do the things I'm supposed to do. You know, how many times along the way were we supposed to do a task and then get down the road a ways and realize, oh my goodness, I forgot to... You know, whenever you leave the house and you're driving down the road and you're like, did I close the garage door? Oh, no. Or did I turn the coffee pot off? You know, I hope not. I'm going to be back in a little bit. I'm going to have some more. No, I'm teasing. Did I leave the iron on? You know, we have these things that go through our mind and we, at times, we forget about our tasks. So it might be that we are responsible just whenever we are doing the things we're supposed to do. And we're not forgetting, but we're being responsible. We're cleaning, we're working, we're, you know, taking responsibility in the areas that we are supposed to, you know, fulfill our tasks, right? Isn't it a blessing when you're around people who are diligent that way? And it's frustrating to be around people. You know, what does the scripture say? That the one who is irresponsible, this isn't a quote, I don't know the word, some of you may, but it's like a foot out of joint or a broken tooth. You know, it's like very frustrating. You can't use somebody who's irresponsible. The Bible speaks of a good name. I read this in my Bible reading yesterday. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 1. A good name is rather to be chosen. Let me read it to you. I marked it here. Than great riches. A good name. So in other words, if you could pick to be a multimillionaire or just have a good name, the Bible says a good name is to be selected over becoming a multimillionaire. And it's funny to me, if we had a census tonight, a private vote, where you just wrote on a paper, okay, $10 million or having a good name, I would be nervous to know who would pick the $10 million, to be honest. But the Bible says a good name is better to be chosen than that. What is a good name? A good name is somebody who has a good reputation. A reputation of being responsible. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about having a good name. By being somebody who, you know, a statement that of old that used to be important, but it's not anymore. This, my word is my bond. I've heard my grandpa say this. Hey, it used to be that if two guys shook hands, and that was done. It's not like that anymore. Yeah, that settled it. But people aren't responsible. What does it mean to be irresponsible? It means you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not doing what you're supposed to be responsible. You're not answerable. You're not answerable for your responsibilities. And so what happens when Christians are irresponsible? We're going to see that in Judah tonight. He was a failure in Judah. Not just a failure, I think a refusal. I mean, an outright refusal to live obediently to God's laws and fulfill his responsibility in making sure that Tamar was taken care of in this way. No doubt Sheila did what she did. By the way, let's not think that we're talking about giving somebody in marriage when they're already married to somebody else. Tamar waited for Judah's wife to be moved aside. And Sheila, no doubt, had been given to somebody else. And it caused Tamar to act rashly this way. We'll see that in a minute. But note what, the scripture that we read here about Judah. I mean, it points to the reality that we have who is done wickedly and he has died, which honestly points back to the judgment that we spoke of this morning, that when you're rebellious, God will judge that. God always judges rebellion, and it shows up in whenever he died just for simply for being evil. We don't know what he did, we just know that he was evil. And for Onan, in the sin that he was engaging himself in, to take advantage of this as an opportunity for self-gratification, but not taking care of the responsibility. And God killed him for that. It displeased the Lord, verse 10. And Judah, now watch Judah here. He said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, "Remain as a widow at thy father's house till Sheila thy son be grown." Now what does that imply? What does that imply? Remain a widow in your father's house when Sheila until he's grown. Well, that just means when he's old enough, then we'll pass on this, we'll take care of this issue. But that wasn't what he had in mind. Look what it says in our verse as it goes on. "For he said, lest peradventure he die also." That's his real problem, or that's his real heart. He doesn't want to give his third son to her. He's afraid he's going to die too. So he didn't do his responsibility because he was afraid. So she did what she was supposed to, but Judah didn't do what he was supposed to do. Now, I want you to know that this complicates things, because now we don't see that there is a way that, not in the scriptures here, that the line of Judah is going to be preserved. And so Judah is bringing into a complication here God's great plan. And did you know that whenever we don't fulfill our responsibilities, we do the same thing? We complicate God's plan for our life. The word complicate literally means to interweave, to fold or to twist together, hence to make complex, to involve, to entangle. So God has a plan for our life, and whenever we're not doing what God wants us to do, we complicate things as far as God's plan for our life. It makes things twisted up. Yeah. So whenever we are not doing what we're supposed to do, dads, then we're complicating things with our children. Dads, when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, or rather husbands, then we're complicating God's plan in our family with our wife. Wives, whenever you're not doing what you're supposed to do in the home as a wife, then that complicates God's plan. Now, do we need to go to Ephesians and see what God's plan is for the family? That God has a particular plan for the family. That husbands would do their responsibility. That wives would do their responsibility. That mothers would take care of their responsibility. That fathers would take care of their responsibility. That children would take care of their responsibilities. That we would do our part. That we would do what we're supposed to do. So if we're not, then it complicates things. It gets things twisted. It's like a pastor who's not doing his job. Like, I'm the pastor of this church, but if I'm not doing what God has told me to do in the Scriptures as a pastor, it complicates things in the church. And a lot of times the congregation, unless you're seasoned and you've been in church long enough and you know the Bible well enough, a lot of times Christians, you know there's a problem, you can feel it, but you don't know what it is. And there's an issue whenever the pastor isn't taking responsibility that God has asked him. It complicates things. Or whenever you have Christians that aren't taking responsibility. How about members of the church? How about whenever you have a member of the church that's not being responsible? Then it complicates things. And so now we have this situation where it's totally twisted, because Tamar is over here. She's done what she's supposed to do. And Judah made his promise, but now he's not doing what he's supposed to do. And it's been a long time. And it's confusing. It's complicated. It's messed up. So what does it look like whenever someone else tries to do what you're supposed to be doing? Judah? What does it look like whenever you didn't be responsible and now somebody else is going to have to do it? Because you won't. Well, let's see. Because that's exactly what happens when Tamar tricked him. Took things into her own hand. And she decided she was going to put her put garments on to make herself look like a for hire. Let's just say that word. But note verse 12. Let's follow this story. In the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. Judah was comforted. Note verse 13. And it was told Tamar, saying, "Well, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear the sheep." She put her widow's garments off from her and covered her with a veil, wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way of Timnath. And she saw that she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot. See that? Because she had covered her face. He didn't know it was her. He turned into her, by the way, and said, "I go, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee." For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And he said, "What wilt thou give me?" She said that. "What will you give me, that thou mayest come in unto me?" And he said, "Well, I'll send a kid from the flock. I'll give you a sheep," right? A lamb. Where are we at? I always look up and then I lose myself here. Verse 17. And she said, "Wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it?" And he said, "Well, what pledge shall I give thee?" And she said, "Thy signet and thy bracelets and thy staff that is in thine hand." And he gave it to her and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. And she arose and went away and laid by her veil from her, and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend the Adullamite to receive the pledge from the woman's hand, but he found her not. So let me pause for a second. So Judah didn't do what he was supposed to do, and Tamar found that he was going up to a different place, Timnah, for, you know, a sort of a sheep shearing festival sort of deal that he was going to. And when he was there, in the midst of the festivities, decided to engage in this wicked, really a carnal activity, and taking a harlot unto himself. So he saw her, didn't know it was his daughter-in-law. She deceived him. He said, "Oh, you know, what will you give me? I'll give you a sheep. You know, that's pretty good payment, I guess." "Oh, no. Well, you know, you'll send that to me later, but what are you going to give me right now until that comes?" I'll give you these, these particular items and my staff, you know, and then you can have the sheep, and then we'll just trade it out whenever the sheep gets there." So they agree, and the plan worked, and she conceived. It goes on, and it speaks of Judah sending his friend back with the sheep into that place. He goes and he's looking for the harlot, but he can't find her. He returned to Judah, verse 22, he found her not, and the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. Judah said, "Let her take it into her, lest we be," what's that next word? "Shamed." So he's afraid of being shamed. "I sent this kid, that thou hast not found her." So his desire was that he would be gratified also. You know, isn't it interesting that his sons, one, the first one was killed, it just simply says he was evil. The second one was killed because of self-gratification. We don't know really much about the third son, but Judah here engaging in this evil simply for self-gratification. Now watch this. And then he's trying to cover it up. He wants to send this kid back, and the whole thing is sort of so that he wouldn't feel this shame. Yeah. But here's the reality of this story. This would have never taken place if he would have fulfilled his responsibilities in the first place. And now somebody else is acting in really a rash way, in really sort of an emotional way to take care of this problem in a distressful way, really, to take care of this issue because of his failure to fulfill his responsibilities. Now watch this. Our failures to fulfill our responsibility forces others to do what we're supposed to do. And because we're the one who's equipped to do our responsibilities, to do our part, and we won't, someone else has to do it. So now let's talk about husbands again. So husbands are given responsibilities from God to take responsibility in the home, as we mentioned earlier, to take care of the family, to lead the family spiritually, to lead the family emotionally, to love, to lead the family in the way they should go. But when husbands aren't doing that, somebody else has to, and somebody else will. And so we have wives that are stepping up and being in the homes what the fathers are supposed to be, what the dads are supposed to be, what the husbands are supposed to be. The wives are having to do it because the husbands won't do it. You understand? Or wives who aren't taking responsibility that God has given to them. When God has given a responsibility of a wife to take care of the things in the home or to do certain things in the family, but they don't do it. So somebody's going to do it. Somebody else steps in and takes care of those responsibilities. And so here's what you have. You have a home that's twisted. It's messed up. Because people aren't taking responsibility and doing the things they're supposed to do. And the same thing happens in church. When a pastor isn't doing what he's supposed to do, he's not leading the way, he's not being responsible, and somebody else will step in, and then the church is in a mess. Or whenever we have Christians that aren't being responsible as Christians, not having the testimony that we should have as Christians, then it just becomes a mess. Or members of the church that aren't fulfilling responsibilities, that in the church, it gets twisted. And you have people who are doing responsibilities in the church when somebody else should be doing it. I was talking to, I think it was Anna this morning, about being involved with the junior church. And she really enjoys doing that. She was in our Sunday school meeting, and she was just wanting to, you know, I was curious about her desire to be involved with Sunday school, but she was thinking that because she was a helper in junior church, she needed to be at that meeting also, which is fine. But what I said to her is that I don't want, and I'll say to everybody in here, I don't want any one member of the church to be involved with so many things, you know, because we're not able to be effective if we do so many things. We need to be involved as we like to be involved. But, you know, it's frustrating whenever you have a couple people who are doing everything and a bunch of people who aren't doing anything. I mean, I'm just saying, it's frustrating. Because here's what it is you have people that are supposed to have responsibility, and because they won't take that responsibility, somebody else has to and will. Okay? And it just makes it hard. It complicates things. Does that mean that God can't work through this? No, it just makes it complicated. It makes it hard. And so Judah, you know, it's interesting to me the way that he deals with this. Because now she's with child, he has no idea that it's by him. And whenever he found out that she was with child after 3 months, he commanded that she be burnt. Well, that's what it says. Let's see it. Verse 24. It came to pass after 3 months, about 3 months after, that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot, and also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. Judah said, bring her forth and let her be burnt. Sounds like a hypocrite to me. Doesn't it sound like that to you? When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whose these are, am I with child? And she said, discern, I pray thee, whose these, this, the signet, bracelet, and staff? You had to know the shock that was on Judah's face at that moment when he realized, I'm the dad. Verse 26, and Judah acknowledged them. And here's what he said, she hath been more righteous than I, because I gave her not to Shelah my son, and he knew her again no more. Yeah. So her method of taking care of this issue that Judah should have been responsible to take care of, it was a desperate measure. She went to great lengths in desperation to do this. You know, we have a tendency, I think, to condemn the desperate actions of others who are doing what we're supposed to be doing. But it reveals our failure to be responsible. My wife is doing something that I'm supposed to be doing, and then I get mad at her for it, which has happened a lot. Why? Because I was irresponsible. My anger at her for doing what I'm supposed to be doing revealed that I was irresponsible. So I'm doing something, or rather you're doing something, or somebody else is doing something that you're supposed to be doing, and our tendency is to get angry about that. I think maybe we should twist turn this thing around and realize what it really is. Is I should have been doing that. Instead of getting angry about it, just decide that we're going to make a change. Yeah. Which is what Judah did. I'm concerned about families. I'm concerned about families that don't understand the importance of being responsible in our duties and what we're supposed to be responsible to take care of. I'm concerned that whenever we're supposed to be the spiritual leaders and we're not, and somebody steps in and takes that leadership that we're supposed to have in the family, and then it causes this problem in the family, a conflict, because it makes us angry because they're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And a lot of times it doesn't get resolved. It just splits up relationships. And I think tonight all we need to do is identify that whenever we are being irresponsible, it creates problems. When we're not doing the things that we're supposed to do, it doesn't make things better, it makes things complicated. Because now we're wanting God's work to be done, we're wanting God's plan in our life, we want to see God do a great work, but when we're not being responsible, then we're making it not impossible, but we're making it really challenging for this thing to go forward and to be right. I mean, we want our kids to grow up for God, don't we? I want my kids to grow up for the Lord. But when we're in as a family, when we're not what we're supposed to be, because we're not fulfilling our responsibilities, does that mean that God can't do a great work and raise our children for Him? No, no, no. He can do it. But it sure makes it complicated. It happened in my family, and I'm sure it's happened in some of you. But I don't think that's God's plan. I don't think that God should have to use what Tamar did to bring about what should have happened if Judah would have just taken responsibility to do what he was supposed to do. But because Judah wouldn't take care of his responsibility, and Tamar had to step in, it put the whole thing, God's whole plan, and the line and lineage of Judah on the line. I mean, she was almost burned at the stake. You should go in and read the line and lineage of Jesus Christ and see what's on the line here. Because Jesus is of the tribe of Judah. Understand? This is God's plan that's on the line. And Judah was irresponsible, and he's the one that put it on the line. And God worked through it, which is amazing. And God can work through it. But I'm telling you, why do we complicate things by not being responsible? And I think a lot of times what irresponsibility is just laziness. We're just lazy. We just don't put effort forward. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that. It could be like for Judah, I think that he was afraid. He was afraid he would lose Shelah, or whatever it is that's in his mind. There was fear there, and it caused him to not take responsibility. Listen, hey, God has tasks for us to do. He wants us to take responsibility, whether it's husbands being the husbands that we're supposed to be, and being righteous and being holy and leading our families in the way that they should go, and following the man of God at church and teaching our family to follow the man of God, and being faithful to church and leading our family to be faithful and leading our family in the way that they should go, and not just taking care of them from a financial standpoint by doing our job by taking care of them financially, but also leading them spiritually and leading them emotionally. And wives, to do what God has called you to do. We say, oh, but it's so hard. Listen, we can live our life and neglect what we're supposed to be responsible for, and God can still do a great work. But I'm telling you, it makes it complicated. You know, I love our children. I want to see them take responsibility. But along the way, our children have to be taught, don't they? They have to be taught to take responsibility. Oh, mercy. So, what does God want us to do tonight? I think we need to identify when there's failure in our responsibilities. And sometimes we can see those failures by the desperate action of others, can't we? We can see our failure in our responsibilities when somebody else is doing what we're supposed to be doing. Yeah. So what do we need to do tonight? Well, whenever somebody else has to do what you're supposed to be doing, we need to determine to take back that responsibility. Whenever somebody else is doing the things that we should be doing, then we need to determine to take back that responsibility. So, tonight, what's your responsibility? What does God want you to do? Well, as a husband, I mean, we can see that in Ephesians chapter 4, right? Chapter 5, rather. As fathers, we can see it there also. Wives, we can see it there in Ephesians, Proverbs 31. Children, Ephesians chapter 6. Christians, following the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And as He guides us in the way, pastor, He teaches me from the epistles that I'll be the pastor God wants me to be, not as a Lord, but shepherding and leading and teaching the Scripture and being what I need to be as a pastor. But listen, that we would step up to the plate and be what God wants us to be, and if we're not, that we would determine today to take back that responsibility. So what does God want us to do? Well, I don't know. Where have we been irresponsible? It might be that we just haven't been reading our Bible every day. Heavens. I need to get up in the morning. You know, the alarm goes off and I'm not getting up. Oh, we need to get up. And it's irresponsible not to. Oh, well, God wants me to control myself in this particular area. Well, we need to determine tonight that we're going to take back that responsibility. Because it's irresponsible not to. So let's just decide we're going to be responsible tonight. I think, you know, next week, whenever we get back into the life of Joseph, we're going to identify some of the purpose and reason why this lesson was here. But for our purposes tonight, let's identify the areas where we lack responsibility, where we've not been responsible. And my hope that you've done that tonight, and so that we can make things right with Him. Father, tonight we pray for Your help. Lord, I feel that it's just been a struggle to. I don't know if it's just to be honest about this or just. It's easy to identify problems, Lord. I know that we all feel that way, but to say I determine to be responsible, God, it's really challenging. And so I pray that You will tonight help us to not only just identify the areas of struggle or maybe the areas of weakness where we've not been what You want us to be, but that You would help us to understand what it means to be righteous in the area of responsibility. That we would take responsibility and do what we're supposed to do. And we'll give You the glory as You lead us in the way we should go. In Jesus' name.